Hey, I'm Jim Sear.
And I'm Jocelyn Yuan.
And you're listening to the Avoiding Chores podcast,
where we typically talk about things that are interesting.
Very interesting. So let's dive into this episode, Jocelyn. Let's talk about the strangest food you've eaten and liked.
Well, listen, I'm lucky enough that I have traveled quite a bit. And I remember one time I was in Portugal, and our host there, we were hosted by one of our suppliers, very, very generous company, and we were invited to this restaurant where there was a very elaborate buffet set up. And I'm a bit of an adventurous eater, so I was looking at everything, all the selections that were there, and there was something there that I had no idea what to do with. And it almost looked like an animal's foot, but it seemed to me, like looking at it, it seemed to me like it was some kind of seafood, but I wasn't sure. And honestly, looking at it, I had no idea what to do with it. So I actually asked our host what these were, and he told me that they were barnacles. And I researched it afterwards, and they're actually called goose barnacles. And you kind of have to suck the meat out of it. And they are a crustacean, I guess, that grows on rocks in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten. But I'm telling you, if you look it up and you Google goose barnacles and you see what they look like, you'll see that You wouldn't know what to do with it, and somebody has to tell you it. But it was delicious.
Wow. Well, my strangest food, you know, being a guy from the country, grew up on the farm, meat and potatoes. Strangest food was sushi. Getting to the big city, my first opportunity, not the rolled up sushi, but the other one with the cured tuna on the top, or the shark, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just sashimi or sashimi, nigiri, yeah. Sushi, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do with that either, right? I'm coming from a land where I see a cow in the back of the field, and I say, I'll see you in my freezer in a few months, and I'll just slap that T-bone on a fire or on my skillet and boil some potatoes for 20-something years, and then finally move on to the big city and going out with a group of friends, and we're going to... So you know that Jap style of restaurant, you go, you sit around the table, and the chef comes in, he does kind of the show with the skillet, and he fries the food in front of you, and
the teppanyaki.
Yeah, makes the fire and all that stuff. Well, that was really my first experience. So he's doing all this stuff, and then at the same time, the appetizer's coming in with the sushi and the maki. I had no idea what was going on. I hadn't really cured fish. I didn't really know much about that. Or
raw fish, really.
Raw fish. Didn't really know about that. But you know what? Trooper tried it. And you know what? Love it. Love it. To the point, Jocelyn, now that I'm looking at the other Asian cuisines, like Korean food. Korean soups or barbecue or how they prepare their food.
I think really, because I grew up in a pure meat and potato kind of society as well and family, it was not very elaborate what we ate, but that was what we knew. And I think that the advent, of course, of the internet really propelled some of these foreign cultural foods to the forefront so quickly. In our generation, we went from eating, you know, steak and, you know, just ground beef and potatoes and overcooked broccoli to eating sushi and, as you said, Korean short ribs and eating, you know, risotto from Italy and so on. And I think it's just such an interesting thing that we were able to take what were strange foods, I guess, and there's no question that for everybody mm-hmm. that's tried sushi, the first time you've tried it, it was a strange experience because we never grew up with it. But as you have, I've grown to crave sushi, not just love it.
Exactly. And, you know, this reminds me of a book that was released a number of years ago where somebody went across the world and found the various bread recipes. You know, we think about bread, bread rolls. We talk about naan bread from India, which is delicious. We talk about the fantastic breads that you find in South America. What are those kitchen recipes? And when you start diving into the breads, which if you're following a diet, probably not a good thing. But if you do, just, you know, what would be the basic staples for those cultures are just fantastic.
Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, we grew up on, you know, pre-sliced bread in a bag. Once again, we were a product of our generation, which was, you know, the beginnings of convenience. And we had to relearn to eat real foods and real breads, whether it's naan, as you said, you know, pita bread, you know, the first time you saw it when you were a kid, it was like, what is this? A flat, you know, piece of, but it's great. And it's a product of its culture. And we're just lucky that we've been able to learn about them.
Absolutely. So for me, my food experience lately has been getting back to basic recipes, you know, basic, you know, one pot meals from either, let's say, Texas, let's say Korea, let's say back from our culture, Jocelyn, what people were doing in the 1800s, you know, when they only had what they could see out the window, you know, to make there for food, for sustenance. So very interesting topic for sure.
That's good stuff. I think we're going to have to revisit this topic and maybe talk about foods of our childhood that are coming back.
Absolutely. All right, so let's wrap this up for today, Jocelyn. Make sure, folks, if you listen to this, give us a rating on iTunes or whatever other platform that you listen to, and make sure you check out the previous episodes and other content on our website, which is at avoidingchores.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Avoiding Chores.